everybody, this is Gordon, W2-Tango-Tango-Tango, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. First of all, do we have any emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2-Bravo-Alpha-Romeo. Okay, nothing heard. Do we have any Echo Link stations before we get started? Okay, at this time, let me just explain what we're doing here. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, and this net is designed to be a discussion. It's open to all radio amateurs who are licensed to operate in the 2-meter band, and you can come in via Echolink at K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-Link, K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-Link. The repeater facility is provided by the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, and this is one of, five nets, six nets, something like that, that Bergen Amateur Radio Association runs on various repeaters and various other frequencies. We'll actually make an announcement regarding our other nets in a little bit during club announcement time. In the meantime, the purpose of the TechNet is to get involved in a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, things that depend on those things, computers, whatever. It's pretty broad. So you can even discuss the implications of these fine activities as well. So, with no further ado, let's talk about how we log in. Okay, we sign in by simply giving our call sign, our name, and then we ask you to provide an indication of whether or not you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. And it's really important to check in even if you don't have a question or a comment, because we need to kind of know who's there in order to address the needs of our listening audience. So please do check in. I know many people do not check in week after week, and we get a nice long list, but it's nice to be able to target things. Also, it's nice to be able to tap you as a resource should there be a question that we think you might be able to help. So please do check in no matter what. So with no further ado, let's talk about the Kilo stations. Any station whose call sign begins with Kilo followed immediately by the number 2. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, or both. Please call K2BAR. Wow, nobody on the Kilo 2s. All right, any other Kilos of any flavor, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB, Richard. No questions, only one query for you.
Okay, Richard, I have you down as a query, which is fine. We can catch that in a little bit, no problem. Who just came in and doubled with Richard?
K2BAR, this is KC2SQP. I have a question. Sorry for the override. I didn't know someone else was on the air.
Stuart and Richard, you were so synchronized that it was going to be the best man win, and hopefully someone would. And the good news is somebody did win, and I just didn't get a pile of junk. So it's all good. Don't worry about it, Stuart. No problem. Any other Kilos?
KO2, okay. Bennett, no questions, no comments.
Good evening, Bennett, and nice to hear you in here as well. Just trying to think. Alright, any other Kilos?
Kilo 2, Zulu Charlie, no questions, no comments.
Hi, Dave, good evening to you as well. Any other Kilos? Okay, are there any Echo Link stations? Okay, let's go to the Whiskies. Any Whiskey station?
W2JEK, Don, no question.
Good evening, Donald. Nice to hear you. And welcome aboard any other Whiskeys. Okay, November stations, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, any Alpha stations? Alrighty, any other station wishing to check into the net at this time, please call K2BAR. Did I hear somebody else? I think I doubled with somebody. Say again. Alrighty. Well, let's get right to it. And actually, I have a comment or a question. I want to talk about a company called Carl's Kits. I'll tell you about them a little bit, but I'll put that in between Stuart and Richard, if you don't mind. So, Stuart, go right ahead.
K2BAR, this is KC2SQP. The question was, one of the guys told me at one of our breakfast meetings, you know, we have at Paramus Park, that the Long Island Amateur Radio Club usually is on Sunday night from 8 to midnight on 146.850. And I'm wondering, with the 2 meters that I have at the house, can I get them, or do I have to go through an IRLP? Back to the net.
Well, Stuart, what kind of antenna do you have, and what kind of radio do you have?
K2BAR, KC2SQP. I've got a Kenwood 2-meter 440. I bought it last year. I'm trying to think of the model number, but it's up there. Doesn't have a GPS on it, but it has everything else going for it. Back to the net.
Okay, well, yeah, you should be able to get in with that, I would think. I can hear 8.5 just fine here, on a handy talkie in my living room in Bergenfield, and that's not exactly wonderful. So I would think with any kind of decent antenna and a decent radio, you should be able to, if not get in, certainly hear it.
KC2BAR, this is KC2SQP. Thanks a lot for the info. I'll try it. Back to the net.
Okay, very good. I mean, I think you'll do fine. I mean, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Now, they generally turn off the PL on that repeater come net time, but I believe it's a 136 PL. You can look it up, but it's, the repeater is owned by the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club. The Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club. So if you Google Limarc, L-I-M-A-R-C, you'll find what you need about to know about the repeater, and then you go from there. Anybody else have any comments?
KO2, okay.
Then I go right ahead.
Stuart, if you tune your dial down there now, they're talking. So you should be able to hear them. I can hear them with my HT in my basement. I can even hit their repeater with my HT in my basement. So they have a pretty good repeater system. And as I said, they're talking there now, so if you tune your tuning dial down to 146.85, you should at least be able to hear them. And that's all. KO2, okay, back to net.
Absolutely. In fact, Stuart, can we give you a homework assignment?
Go ahead.
Okay, we'd like you to go do that and come back to us in a couple of few minutes and let us know how it worked for you.
Okay, thanks. This is KC2SQP. Out.
Well, if he doesn't have a tone squelch on.
Yeah, well, we can hope. 36, I think, or 131. I think it's 136 is the tone for that repeater.
It is.
Okay, 136. Very good. Okay, thanks. Alrighty. That was a good question. Now, before we continue, do we have any other check-ins for the net? Please call K2BAR. Gotcha, Tony. Do you have any questions or comments on that? Do you just want to let us know you have later?
Just one comment for the net.
Roger. Very good. We'll put that aside. We'll get to you in a minute. Any other stations?
K2DSL, David, no questions at this time.
Okay, David, very good. Welcome aboard. And anybody who's in front of a computer, I would like you to go to a website called electronickits.com. It'll come up as Carl's Electronics, but the website is www.electronickits.com. And all sorts of cool stuff in there. And cheap, too. Mostly Canadian kits, by the way. Some come pre-tested or pre-wired modules that you then have to go do stuff to. There's a company they apparently do a lot of business with called Canakits, CanaKit.com, which is another website. I think you're better off getting the stuff from the U.S. side. Anyway, we'll talk about that in another minute or so. Just wanted to draw your attention to electronickits.com. Anyway, moving on, let's get Richard's question, and then we'll go to Tony's announcement.
K2BAR, this is KC2BYB. It's not so much a question, it's for you, though. I finally got this one tower with XP on it, checked out and working again. And we found that the problem was the monitor, so that, of course, is already in the garbage someplace. And now we have no monitor for this particular system. And I was wondering if you had an older monitor, not one of the new flat screens, that, you know, with a USB connector to connect it to the computer, because this doesn't connect that way. And if you had an old one that you want to sell or whatever, over to you.
I think I have what I can give you. If not, I think we can reach out to a couple other people and get you one. That's not a problem. I think the cost is basically the cost of gasoline to get it to pick it up.
Okay, that's the kind of price I was looking for. You know, because I said, you know, I don't want to buy a brand new one for this, but this tower, like I said, it's got XP on it. It needs to be cleaned up a little bit. You know, have some programs taken out of it that are going to be just, and documents and things like that that are just useless and whatever. And I wanted to use it, you know, for the shack, you know, to run things like a TNC in the future and PSK31 off of it and things like that. And XP just fits into everything and works. You know, it's just user friendly to all the kind of programs that we basically use, over.
Splendid, Richard. Yeah, we can arrange for that. When my son gets home, we'll have a conversation. I should know by, I would figure, mid-afternoon tomorrow where a monitor is that you can have it. And I want to make sure whatever we provide you is functional and not something goofy. Alrighty. Very good. First of all, before we go on to the next thing, do we have any other check-ins? Please call K2BAR. Is there an Echolink check-in? Any Echolink check-ins, please call K2BAR. Okay, just making sure. Alrighty, I ordered a 20-watt per channel stereo amplifier, and I wasn't paying close attention. It wasn't very expensive, like $30 from this company. It's it'll drive, it'll run on 12 to 18 volts, and delivers 20 watts of output on each channel. Nice little dual integrated modules for each side. It's got separate volume controls left and right. And I bought it because I wanted to have a decent amount of audio for a speaker system Sirius radio. I didn't want to integrate it back into my mobile. I blew the module that was already controlled, and I said, you know what, rather than have that integrated with my AM/FM CD, let's leave that alone using the car's speakers, and I'm going to mount a pair of bookshelf speakers, really nice ones at about $30 as well. I bought them at Best Buy for about $32, I think $33, something like that. And I've been using a pair of these things for my HF radios, and they've been really sounding good. They sound great on FM. Right now I'm using my 746 Pro for FM here on 2 meters, and it sounds just as good there too. And I found it to be as good, and in fact I liked it better than the SP20, although it doesn't match, although it's the same height as a Pro 2 or Pro 3 or 746 Pro, and it's just about as black. But they come in pairs. They're indoor-outdoor speakers and stuff like that. So what I'm thinking of, what I did was I bought a second pair, and I'm going to mount them in my truck along with some communication speakers behind the driver. I've got a place where I can do that. And basically what I'm going to do is my plan is to drive it with this audio amplifier so I get Sirius. If I really want to, I can bridge over one of the communications functions, or my laptop, which is also got mountings in the car. So I'm at least going to get the laptop and the Sirius radio into this thing, into these things. There came a question which I asked Jim Joyce about last night about making sure I don't have any RFI issues, and he suggested simply, you know, mounting the, you know, put the amplifier in, bypass the inputs and output leads with 001s to ground on each lead, by the way, because they're all floating. And then he said, run 2 to 4 loops of shielded speaker wire through, you know, a short, like, inch and a half long piece of sausage-like ferrite, like you'd get for the computer speakers, things like that. And, like you buy them at Radio Shack or wherever. And I should be in good shape with that, and that'll keep the RFI down to a dull roar. So that's what we're going to try to do, and that's going to be my little audio project. That's kind of what I'm looking at. So, you know, for a pair of speakers and this little $30 module, you're good to go. It's really kind of nice. So did anyone look at the website? I'm just kind of curious. This is K2BAR. Okie doke. Well, just everybody got their Barra blue and white points. All right. On that note, Tony, your comments, sir, K2BAR.
Okay, this is K2AMI. As I mentioned earlier in the week on that different net, that same internet, I see that the Bergenfield Night School program, the community school, is now offering an amateur radio course, technician grade only, on Night School program. It starts in March. If anybody's interested, I could just indicate that I understand that Don Younger knows the instructor, having it gotten an upgrade to our RVE program. His name is Mr. Gershon, and Gershon, and there's a charge of $50, but it's 5 sessions, 2-hour sessions each, on a Monday night, starting in March. Anybody interested, I can give more details, or they might check with the community school over in Bergenfield. But again, repeat, it's only the technician grade license. Back to that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so he gives you 10 hours of instruction, and, you know, away you go across 5 weeks. I think that's the one way to prepare for a test. I think it's really good. Of course, we have the crunch and burn, you know, type of thing. So that works for us too. So I think both models are very good, and I would encourage people to look at that. So anyway, is there anybody else with questions or comments about the course?
K2BAR, this is Stuart, KC2SQP. I'm not on my radio. I'm at Ron's house, and he's doing something. But he's got a Kenwood TMG 707. We could not get through at all. I'll try it on mine, or when I go down to the shack on Friday, I'll see if we can get through on that. Back to the net.
That's wonderful. Well, so were you able to establish whether it'll work from Ron's house? Will Ron be able to listen?
KC2BAR, this is KC2SQP. I couldn't get through at all on Ron's radio at all. Ron tried once before to get through. He couldn't get through. So Friday when I'm down at the Fairlawn Club, we'll see if we can use their machines down there. We'll get a better one than what we have and see if we can get through with an antenna. Thanks. Back to the net.
Does Ron have like a vertical on top of a refrigerator or something?
He has a J-pole in the house. For some reason it's not working. It's one of these homemade jobs that he made, but it works fine to speak to you. We have no problem. Back to the net.
I'm wondering if it's because of positioning. But, okay. Very fine. Anyway, one last question. Can he hear the repeater?
Negative. Cannot.
Okay. Fair enough. Alrighty. Thank you very much. Tony?
I have no further comment except some bare information.
Okay, very good. Why don't you give that information now?
Okay, well, again, if you guys have not read the Barra Bulletin, this coming Sunday is the meeting night for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association at the Red Cross Building in Ridgewood. And the program will be part two of a video on, I'm not going to say this right, but the Deshiendo Island, I never say that word correctly. There's a de-expedition that was the first part was shown at last month's meeting, and the continuation this month. There also will be a presentation of the Barra budget required by our Constitution. We must present a budget every year, this time of the year, February. And of course, in March, we will be having our Barra auction, the first Sunday in March, the Barra auction Sunday. So look around your shack, get some of the couple of those items that you don't mind giving away for almost nothing, but getting a few dollars for. Don't bring expensive stuff, because you're not going to get expensive money back. This is very, very good and very, very attractive. But it's always fun to bring stuff into the Barra auction and pick up goodies and we'll get rid of goodies that you don't need any longer. And I'm trying to get into the EchoLink link, and I'm having a problem, but perhaps immediately after that we can play with that a bit more. This is Tony, K2MI, back to night control.
I think we'll have time tonight. A little after 10, I have to run out. I'm on a little bit of an errand, but other than that, that's fine. Be happy to do that for you. Just a couple other things. This repeater's annual meeting and dinner is going to be held at the New Yorker Steakhouse or something up in Ramsey, I think it is, on 17. On Sunday evening, February 21st, if anyone wants to support this repeater, feel free to let the Chestnut Ridge group know, K1JMI, you can let me know, I can point you to him, et cetera, no problem. I believe the BCFMA also has a media annual meeting. Theirs is more of a dues collection enterprise, but I believe it's also the 21st. So you can spend your evening of the 21st supporting the repeaters that support Barra. It's a beautiful thing. So, you know, by all means. In fact, if Gene comes, you probably can give your dues to him for BCFMA this Sunday, be my guess. And if Bob comes, and I don't think Bob's a super football fan, but if Bob comes, I think he can handle your Chestnut Ridge dues as well. So it's a beautiful thing. One-stop shopping. In fact, if Gene comes, he can also take your Fairlawn dues, which is even better. Oh, dear me. All righty. Let's see. I'm just trying to think if there are any other topics we have yet to explore. All righty. Any other check-ins?
KS2ID with a question.
I guess you're checking in too, Ben. Good. KS2ID, go right ahead.
Okay. I'm thinking of buying a laptop. And I pretty much know what I want, but I don't know which manufacturer gives people the least trouble. I wonder if anybody has any particular love or hate, for that matter, for any particular computer manufacturer, so I don't get something which with poor support and poor functionality, or a lot of gremlins in it. So if anybody has any advice on that area, I'd appreciate it.
Wow, this is like religion, Ben. You are aware of that, right?
Yeah, but we can always discuss religion, too. The Constitution allows for free speech, so we can talk about laptop manufacturers.
Yeah, it's okay. The People's Liberation Army thanks you no matter which one you buy from. Anyway, let's see. I do have my preferences, and we're going to go around and see if people have any preferences. My absolute favorite laptop vendor is Hewlett-Packard. My least favorite laptop vendors are Dell and HP Compaq, which I do want to draw a difference on. And I'm not over fond of Panasonic or Sony, those kinds of things, and I'm okay with Toshiba. If you're looking for something portable and with a ton of life and you just want something that's going to run a few processes at a time, you don't want to kill yourself, you might consider one of the, what I call the steroidal netbooks. There's some netbooks out there that will run 2 or even 4 gig of RAM have anywhere from 7 to 10 hours and more. I think there's a Toshi out there that's really kind of impressive with its capabilities. I have to go back and look it up, but that was kind of one thing to think about. But I really thought that HP's support, and we've had God only knows how many laptops, HP laptops, DV1040s, I think there were 3 of them, a DV1541, a 3 different variations on DV6000s, and then I have 2 desktop machines that are older from HP. And, you can't kill them, and if you do, it's usually blunt force trauma. So let's go around. Richard, what's your favorite?
My favorite, you got to look at what operating system you're looking for. If you want to get HP, I like the Acer netbooks, because they all come with XP on it, on it, which of course is very user friendly. If I had to do it over again, I would go with a netbook, because of its size and everything. Right now I'm using a compact laptop, which came with Vista on it, which I converted out to Windows 7. I haven't had any problems with Windows 7 so far once we got it working. I'm not a computer person, so, you know, we did have to hook up to the, the help desk at Microsoft, and they kind of plugged into the computer and helped me along with everything and straightened out, you know, the final little bit there. Like I said, I'm not a computer person by any stretch of the imagination. It's monkey see, monkey do. And that's the way I am. And so it would either be HP, or I would use the get the Acer. You can still pick them up for $299 or slightly less, $279 on a netbook. And they're just absolutely fantastic. This is KC2PYB.
Yeah, they're good. The Aspire is another one. Just for reference, there are a lot of people commenting negatively about the netbooks, that they don't have a lot of power and this and that. As long as they're expandable RAM-wise to pretty much you want and have it this size you can live with, I think that's something that you should be happy with. I've been running, you know, a 1.3 gig processor here for a long time, and my Toughbook, and that's about, I mean, depending on whether you get a steroidal netbook or not, that's pretty much in the ballpark of what you'll see in the way of performance from some of the netbooks. So I think Richard's right. A netbook is a nice choice. I'm always worried about beating them up, but, you know, all things being considered, I've been pretty lucky. I have a Toughbook, but I have a Toughbook because I am really miserable with this stuff. So anyway, let's go to the next person. Stuart?
K2BAR, this is KC2SQP. I've got a desktop, Dell, loaded, and I'm happy with it. I don't have netbooks or laptops or anything else back to the net.
Okay, does Ron want to give his input?
This is KC2TBD. I don't use netbooks, and I'm a Mac man over here. I have an iMac, so I'm all out of that. I don't think I can give any suggestions on these things.
Okay, well, thank you. That's no problem. My son, by the way, got an iBook recently. It had a dead disk. A friend of his bought it for $5, and helped him get it up to snuff a bit, so it's kind of neat actually watching that. Thank you very much. KO2OK, what do you think, Bennett?
KC2SDF.
We'll get you in a second.
Good evening, Rachel, and hello, Gordon. KO2OK. Well, I tend to like HP as well. I've purchased at least two laptops and two desktops, and when I did need technical support, they were there, and they seemed to hold up okay, and I thought they were reasonably priced. Unless you've got good eyes and tiny fingers, I would stay away from a netbook, unless you were just using it for traveling and looking at email once in a while. I have trouble with the screen size. I have trouble with, my fingers can work the netbook keyboard, but I know a lot of others can't. So there's a lot of compromises with a netbook. But it is very small to carry around. So that's my comment. Back to net, KO2, okay.
Yeah, I'll just make one comment on my hands to Rachel. It's kind of amusing that my DV-1040 that I bought 1,000 years ago. And I think we still have one or two of them floating around here yet. They are 14-inch screens, and a steroidal netbook can have as big as a 14-inch screen. So, and I didn't find that to be too small, but I would wholeheartedly agree with you about those smaller screens. It's very, very annoying. Anyway, so KC2SGF, go right ahead, Rachel.
K2BAR, KC2SGF Mobile. I like the Lenovo or the IBM ThinkPad. They're one and the same. With regard to the netbook, I think it's an ideal unit for a teenager or someone that's in high school, because it's small, it's inexpensive, and they're going to liable to break it. And because it's got the firmware operating system, you're less likely to get viruses and Trojan horses and those other nasty things. Back to that.
You have a good point there. Actually, I bought two Acer Ones for my sons a year ago last Christmas. I bought one for the oldest one because he needed something small to carry around for work. And he has since lent that to a girlfriend. And I need to actually get that back at some point, because if he's not going to use it, we're going to repurpose that for something else. And then the other went to my youngest son, and he does use it, and it works fine for him, and I think it kind of works in those parameters that you set. So that's very good. Dave, K2 Zulu Charlie, take it away with your recommendations. K2BAR. I'm going to make a habit of taking the roll at 10 o'clock instead of 9. Anyway, W2JEK, Mr. Don.
I'm using a Hewlett-Packard computer here and a Hewlett-Packard printer. I forget what the brand is on the monitor. I have a 19-inch monitor, not a flat screen, but the older type. And I use a DSL line with it. And it seems to do all right for what I want to do with it. So, I'm pleased with that. So, back to that. W2JK.
Okay. Very good. Marvelous, marvelous. Okay. Tony, K2AY.
Okay. For some reason, I thought that Dell was taken over by Hewlett-Packard. I had that impression, and maybe I'm wrong. I think that Hewlett-Packard basically is the mother company of Dell, as of today. Recently, it is. Anyway, I recently purchased a Dell, and I'm very pleased with it. But it's a laptop. Not a laptop. It's a desktop, a regular tower. Seems to work very well, and serving my purpose. Back to that.
Oh, no. I'm going to see if I can go to a resident expert on the matter. David, K2DSL, what do you know about this?
K2BAR, K2DSL. I was all bummed. I heard you say K2 Zulu Charlie. I haven't seen Dave in so long. I thought maybe I'd hear him. Anyway, from my perspective, it doesn't matter what you buy. At this point, they almost always work or don't work immediately, and then unless you do something to damage it, they will work pretty much for the next 2 years to 3 years. I happen to be running an older Sony Vaio notebook that I think is from 2004 or 2003, and I just ordered a new Acer 17-inch notebook with an Intel i5 chip that'll be here tomorrow, I think, as a replacement. We have Dell desktops, Dell notebooks. We have a... Hey, Mary, what's your netbook? An Acer? A what? Okay. Well, she named it Charlie, but I think it's an Asus netbook. I've got two Dell computers here to fix for somebody and a Gateway laptop from my neighbor. They all work fine. It really doesn't matter what you buy. I always suggest spend as much money as you're willing to spend and spend that on the most powerful computer that you can buy, because in about a week and a half there'll be something out faster. So that's my guidance. It doesn't really matter which one you buy. They're all fine. And either in a desktop you can fix them or replace parts, or in a notebook you just buy a new one. K2BAR, K2DSL.
Well, that's a little more permissive than I would like. Let me give you my rationale for why I stick to a limited number of brands. I find that, you know, just a curve on how they support their product or products, how they, you know, shall we say, factory support, and how they give you certain software and how they install it and stuff like that. All the maintenance functions tend to be pretty consistent, even across operating systems. I've noticed that between XP and Vista. I haven't tried Windows 7 yet, although I have a licensed copy sitting here, but driver issues have slowed me down. All right, very good. By the way, I think Jim Jackson has a number of the computers that you have, Dave. I think he's got some Dells, he's got some Asus's, God knows, Acer ones. So he's got a couple of netbooks. I think he's got two, a big one and a medium steroidal one, or a little one and a medium steroidal one, I should say. All righty, let's try KF2ID. It's back to you.
Okay, well, I appreciate all the comments. I'm thinking of going to a laptop rather than a netbook. I don't carry it around that much. It's actually my main reason for getting a laptop is I do go visit relatives or something, and I have all these pictures that I take, and family members and things, and I find that viewing them on a computer screen is better than viewing them on an actual 4x6 print, and the colors are beautiful, very good, etc. About carrying the computer with me, of course, is impossible, but a laptop is good, and then, of course, it's a great way to store the photos. I never get to put them in the photo albums. They get sort of stuck in the drawer. But this computer lets me organize it, stuff like that. That's one reason for getting a laptop. And there's prices between the laptops and standard computers, desk computers, isn't that much anymore. They've come close to price. It's just about the difference of the screen. So, and they're very powerful, the laptops, as far as I can see, as far as their specs go. Well, good enough for what I use it for. I also do some ham programs on it, and email, of course, let me go down for a moment. Most of the ham programs seem to go with the Microsoft Windows operating system, although some of them go with the Linux also, but basically they seem to be in these. So I have to stick with that operating system. So I don't think I'd go for an iMac. Also, the iMac's kind of pricey. So I'm going to go with a laptop, and I do appreciate all the comments. I was thinking leaning towards Hewlett Packard because I dealt a little bit with Hewlett Packard on other items, and I found that their support was excellent. They call a bop, and they answered the phone, and I spoke to a live person, and they gave me correct answers. Even for an inexpensive printer. So I was pleased with their support. And so I'll probably go with the, you guys have pretty much confirmed to me that HP gives good factory support, so that's another good thing too. All the vendors seem to have very similar computers, and so from that point of view, it probably doesn't make too much difference. As I don't know, and I'm sorry, I forgot the name of this guy who said it, but from that point of view, I tend to agree with him as far as function is concerned. But factory support, I kind of got the impression that HP was was one of the better ones. All right, I thank you all for your comments, and I'll go back to that. This is KF2IB.
All righty, anybody else want to chime in with some additional comments? NS2K, I even semi-spoke for you a few minutes ago. Go right ahead, Jim. Welcome aboard.
Yes, I heard that. Anyway, I like the little thing because I carry around all the time and it's convenient, but the screen is a bit small. With a 10-inch, you get almost normal size keyboard, so it's on a kind of medium bed. Actually, I prefer to have a more like a 4x3 screen than the 16x9, because the way most applications are set up, they tend to take up a whole lot of space on the top and frequently the bottom. So it doesn't leave you with very much room in the middle for, you know, the actual goings on. So that can be kind of annoying. But HP is good. Actually, most of them are not too bad in their own way. I would try to stick with real brands as opposed to, I don't know, store brand or something you've never heard of. Getting service can be pretty much impossible. Then again, I tend not to. Anyway, I do generally my own upgrades and that sort of thing anyway. And I usually hate the way they do software installation with, you know, all of their, how should I say, teaser wear and annoying wear that seems to be so common, especially with like the home versions of any of the operating systems. Stay away from the bottom tier, even within a manufacturer. You got to get up one or two levels before you get something that's fairly real. Anyway, back to that, NS2K.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing to think about with this business of the netbook, that you can walk around with a Bluetooth and essentially use it as a phone. And if you have, like, AT&T service, you can have phone and data at the same time. You can text and can do all that stuff from a netbook. And, well, I realize an iPad is probably another way of doing it, or an iPhone or some other, you know, steroidal handheld device. It is kind of comforting to have something a bit bigger. That's something to, to chew on. One of the things I wanted to draw your attention to, folks, was amateurlogic.tv. Amateurlogic.tangovictor. Episode 26 has a segment, this episode, on using your, in this case, I think they're using a TS-2000. Along with the Whisper software as a software-defined radio. And, especially if you're interested in receiving, and I know several people have all sorts of interesting receivers, not all necessarily TS-2000s, it may be something to also consider in your travel. Do consider taking a look at amateurlogic.tv. All right, so we've had a busy evening. We've been talking about computers. We've been talking about specifically laptops. We've been talking about Amateur Logic TV. We talked about Carl's Kits, which I think is called electronickits.com. And there's all sorts of good stuff in there, by the way. We talked about getting a monitor for Richard. We talked about Stuart's desire to get on the Sunday Night TechNet on Limark, run by my good friend K2RAW, Dick Nadel. And just keep in mind, you can't listen to that net till after the Barra meeting. Just remember that. And what else do we have? And Tony reminded us about the amateur radio licensing course at the Bergenfield Adult School. You can call the superintendent's office or adult school office here in Bergenfield for that, five sessions. Oh, I have another thing to add. There is a CERT course. There are a couple of CERT courses going on. Unfortunately, the one that's in Park Ridge, which is going to be scheduled for Thursday nights, was canceled for lack of interest. I don't understand how that happened, because it was scheduled, it was put out there, and within hours, it seemed like within only a few days, it was canceled. It's kind of a bummer. But in any case, there is a course going to be offered at Bergen Community College starting in early March on Wednesday nights, in Lyndhurst on Tuesday nights as well, at I think also in early March. The 24th of February, there's a course that starts up at the Law and Public Safety Institute up in Mahwah, starting on the 24th or 25th, whatever that Wednesday is. So if you're interested in CERT, this would be a good time to do it. It's a good opportunity to get a bunch of people involved, and good training for yourself, and keep you yourself alive, and improve your situational awareness. So anything else from anybody, please call K2BAR. Okay, I missed one thing, and that is our March meeting. Our Barra meeting is this Sunday night at the Red Cross, but our March meeting will be around 1, actually. The auction will start at 1. We open the doors at 12 for Westwood High School for the first Sunday in March for the Barra auction. And then, Venture Crew 7373 has a ham fest and breakfast on Saturday after Easter, which I think is like the 10th or something like that. And just for good measure, we'll be running a ham radio crash course on the 9th, March. On that Friday, the Friday after Easter. And my son is very excited over the fact that Kovalchuk is traded to the Devils from the Atlanta Thrashers. That's what he's all excited about, by the way. Anyway, that's what that little interruption was. So, anybody else, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, any last comments, questions, confusions? All right, well, I'd like to thank KC2PYB, KC2SQP, KC2TBD, KO2OK, K2ZULU Charlie, W2JEK, K2EMI, K2DSL, KF2ID, KC2SGF, and S2K, and this is your host, W2TTD, for K2BAR, thanking the Chestnut Ridge Group for their support of the net. And Tony, I can stay around for a few minutes to help you with your echo link. Anyone else wants to stand around, we can do that too. K2BAR, W2TTT.
K2AMI, K2AMI, disconnected. KC2OIB, disconnected.
I thought I had connections. Go ahead, Tony.
I'm trying to connect now, so let me see if I can get back in there again.
Connected. K2AMI.
Well, you're connected.
Again, doing me if I press the space bar and release and transmit, right? And speak, right?
Right, you tap it once to transmit and tap it again to receive.
Just not getting the audio through.
Are you getting the confirmation back that you're connected?
I hear it coming through my computer, yes.
Okay, and it doesn't drop you. So, and the little icon says you can disconnect if you want to.
Green icon up in the upper left-hand corner that says I'm connected. But to get audio into it now, I'm not succeeding.
Okay. That's interesting. Alrighty. Let me try something. I'm going to try to connect myself. I don't have a microphone on mine, so it's going to be a little odd.
Get in the other day, and it seemed to be okay, but is it, again, I'm connected to FJ-L, and I think I'm doing the right thing. Is there a chance that the link is not working correctly?
I suppose there is. Let me see what I can do to help you with that. Well, first, let me connect to make sure I'm okay. Hold on a second.
K2AMI, timeout.
Doesn't sound like you got the connection back, Tony.
Connected, K2AMI. Connected, W2TTT.
Okay, Tony, I'm connected. And I'm hearing myself back through it. Let me see if I can transmit now. I won't have any audio, but at least I can transmit. W2TTT? Alright, hold on. W2TTT testing. Alright, let's try unkeying and then I'll key up on the echo link.
K2AMI, timeout.
Tony, I didn't see you, connected. So, try connecting again.
Hey, now, are you getting audio? I don't hear audio coming through the computer. Through the computer speakerphone, speakers.
I can't seem to put my computer into transmit mode. It's not. It's not the Echo Link. It's my Echo Station. I'm hitting spacebar. Nothing's happening. ICU is connected.
Very intelligent conversation, an easy conversation through Skype, but it's not going through the repeater.
Okay, Tony. There's an icon right under file. It's a little lightning bolt. Click on that to transmit, and it should go from RX to R to TX on the lower right.
Well, if I key it with my mouse, it says ready, and it says stop or start
do me a favor? Click on the lightning bolt and tell me if the RX thing goes away and TX comes on.
Click on the lightning bolt. And right now, I think I see the green transmit light is on now.
Okay. Don't talk to the repeater. Click on the lightning bolt. As you do, the little green RX in the lower right will go away and it will be replaced by a red TX.
I click on the lightning bolt at the extreme right side, lower left. I have the word ready or start. If I click on it, it says start transmitting or stop transmitting. While I'm clicking on the button, but when I release the button, it goes back to the word ready. Now it changed over to a green icon up in the upper left hand corner.
You're talking through the repeater though, not through the echo link. So what I want you to do, under file, there's a lightning bolt. I want you to click on that and tell me afterwards if it switched from RX to TX. If it does, say hello, wait 5 seconds, click on the lightning bolt again, and it should go back to RX. And then you can talk to on the repeater via the radio link.
K2AMI timeout.
Alright, you're not making it in through the echo link for whatever reason. Stand by. I'm going to plug in my microphone into the back of the computer so I can use the echo link properly.
Gordon, can my signal be going up to K2FJ's house?
Your echo link goes to K2FJ, which is not at his house, which then uses an RF link to get to the repeater, yes.